Don Waller, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So you're a plant ecologist, but here we are today talking about deer. So what's the connection?
I began my career interested in sort of individual plant species, particularly rare and threatened ones. But my vision has been broadened by seeing the ecological interactions in the forest. And an interaction that's particularly important, even profound, for tree regeneration and plant diversity here in Wisconsin is the abundance of white-tailed deer that we have.
So your research focuses on how deer populations affect forest health. Can you describe how that relationship works?
Sure. White-tailed deer are a native herbivore. They've been here for a very long time. What's different about our situation today is that deer are extraordinarily abundant. They're far more abundant than they were before European settlement. There are fewer native predators to prey on them. Things are out of balance. Many of the plants that deer love to eat tend to suffer when deer are overabundant. And research that I and my students have been doing over the last 20 years indicates just how severe and long-lasting a lot of those deer impacts on plant populations are.
What are you seeing? What does this impact look like?
Well, one species we've studied for more than 20 years is eastern hemlock. And hemlocks are not regenerating in most of the state right now. And so we began an experiment in the early 1990s where we planted clumps of hemlock seedlings, a pair of clumps, and then flipped a coin and put a cage over half the seedlings at each site. And looking at the data just this past week or two, it's just striking to me. The impact is huge. For example, in the Nicolet National Forest, after planting more than 2,000 seedlings across the region, several hundred in the Nicolet, not a single one had survived outside those cages.
That's quite dramatic.
It is dramatic, and the average age they lived was less than 7 years. So we've also done studies of the number of hemlock seedlings that grow above 30 centimeters, and that gets severely curtailed in areas that have more abundant deer. Quite interesting to me is the fact that the Indian reservations here in Wisconsin show, in contrast, pretty good survival of the eastern hemlock and of cedar trees.
So it sounds like it's pretty clear in your mind that deer are the source of those differences. Are there other theories to what could be causing the difference in hemlock regeneration?
Initially, in the early 90s, there were a couple of other theories put forward. For example, that the climates had changed, that hemlock had done well in establishing during the Little Ice Age back in the 1800s. Or other people have argued that they need high light conditions or mineral soil to regenerate well. Those other ideas have pretty much been put to rest with subsequent work showing that, yes, light and mineral soil benefit the number of seedlings, but it's their survival to larger sizes that appears to be completely dependent on the incidence of deer browsing on them.
Would you say then that the state's deer population is too high?
Well, the deer population has been fluctuating, but the overall trend since the 1950s has been steadily upward through the year 2000 or so. In the recent years, deer numbers have started to go down a little bit in some areas, and this has created a public outcry among some hunters. What's curious to me is that no hunter and no one in the DNR has yet put forward the alternative idea that maybe deer are eating their way out of house and home. That if they're eating themselves out of house and home, we would expect their numbers to go down. But the only way we would know that is if we monitored habitat conditions. That is to say that the health of forests relative to what deer need to feed on. Nobody's doing that.
What does that mean for management? Are there programs or techniques that you see a need for?
Yes. For example, I'm trying to convince the DNR that we could see improvements in deer hunter education. So I think we should learn a little bit about forest ecology when we recruit a new hunter. Another idea I've had is, why not use citizen scientists, high school science teachers and students, hunters, to have a sort of deer habitat health monitoring program where we would look systematically at survival of conifers and look at understory plants. And that way we'd get the data that we could use to guide our deer management much more effectively.
Don Waller, thanks so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you, Natalie.